Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin.
Hi, everyone.
Well, we're getting close to Christmas, and people are getting sick this time of year, aren't they?
They sure are.
and all of our listeners are going, and it's Bruce. They're like, I don't know. No, man, it's a lot of crud going around, and I know you're fighting a good fight over there with some flu-like symptoms, right, Justin?
Oh, yeah, you know, it gets passed around the house, as they say. So my other half started with it last week, and so I think I've got the tail end of hers. But nonetheless, it's all good. It's all in good spirit, but happy to be here today, irregardless.
Absolutely. Well, it's the 17th, and what, Christmas is coming up next Tuesday. 2018 is coming to an end, and, you know, and then the businesses that you and I do, the work that we're in, we do a lot of reflection. We kind of evaluate where we are as people and professionals, and we help our clients reevaluate where they are, right, with their goals and accomplishments, and reflecting on year end and also vision casting for the year ahead that's going to be upon us here in about, what, 2.5 weeks?
That's right. It's kind of a fun time of year. You know, many years ago when I was at Cisco Systems, we actually took about a week and a half, which was a mandated shutdown, you know, for the company between basically Christmas and New Year's. Was kind of a forced shutdown, and I found that actually was a perfect time of year to kind of reflect and also, you know, do a bit of vision casting, goal setting, if you will, for the next year. So it's something that I've actually carried with me, you know, now into my own business, right, and now the businesses that I help. So hopefully for those listeners out there, if they're not doing something like that, they adopt something like that, this is the perfect time of year to do that.
It sure is. It absolutely is. I'm doing the same thing, helping my clients do the same thing. And you know, even though I had a strong finish this year, there were still a few little potholes that a little coaching practice that could navigate it around, and still want to have 2019 more aware, more informed, and to be even a better year than 18 was, God willing. So,
right. So what, knock on wood.
yeah, plenty of wood here. And, well, great. So, you know, in line with that, in line with goal setting and reflection, and we have a guest with us today that is going to help us kind of clarify some of those personal reflections, some of those things that there are folks out there that may wish they were involved in had a companion or significant other or dating or what have you. And we're gonna address that aspect today, Justin, even though it doesn't directly apply to you and I. We kind of have that covered, but we do have it covered. Don't get any ideas, anybody out there. But yeah, so we have a good friend of mine who received her coaching credentials here a while back and is now embarking on her own coaching practice in Dallas. And I'm just so glad to have Ashley Evans here with us today. Hello, Ashley.
Hi, Bruce. How are you? Good to be here.
Yeah, doing well. It's great. I'm glad you're here. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah. Love to talk about this issue because it is very, very, you know, relevant to the year end, and people have relationship goals, right? Depending, no matter what kind of relationship they're in, they're going to be reflecting that and looking at what they would want for their relationships, relationship in the new year. So, kind of going right into it, right? Well, you and I had a chance to chat, and you know, you and I are both in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and every town has its scene. I know Justin's in Orange County, and they have their scene, and LA has their scene, and you know, all of our major towns have their quote scene, and so I was kind of musing that, I found myself at the Ritz-Carlton in Dallas, attending a very nice, you know, a function, and maybe I'll combine these two. I'll combine these two, I guess, and Ashley, you can clean it up. And near my private dinner was the bar in the Ritz-Carlton, right? And that is quite a place. And then I think a few days ago went to place off of Preston Road, I think Hillstone, which is right across from Seve's, and it's a nice area there in the Highland Park area. And I met a gentleman, a colleague of mine, for lunch at high noon on a weekday. I think it was this last Friday, actually, so it is a little bit more packed in there. Now, here's what happened in both places, Ashley and Justin. Here's what happened. And in both places, I was dressed pretty much the same. I have my signature former federal suit on, pinstripe suit, lapel pin, black shoes. Walk into both places, pass through the Ritz-Carlton bar, try and find a restroom, fast forward to Friday, walk in, my gentleman friend is in the back of Hillstone, and I have to walk through that bar area, that long, it's like a walk of shame. Anyway, all the way back to the bar, and guess what happened? I mean, people, largely women, were kind of coming out of their seats when I would approach them. If I had eye contact, they kind of look and almost get out of their seat, thinking that I was that guy that they were meeting off of Tinder or something.
Yes, I know that look well. Yes.
And I want to get an index card, Justin, and put, "I'm not that guy." I mean,
well,
I take that as a compliment that maybe not. I shouldn't say that. Anyway, so it was really powerful. I mean, I almost felt like, because I come from a prison environment, when I see people rushing me, I kind of go into cats and dogs mode with the amygdala and everything. No, but seriously, just an interesting observation, Ashley, and that kind of said. So, what?
Right. You know, the holidays are a great time to be out and about, you know, with holiday parties and everyone celebrating, and, you know, they're out at bars and restaurants and everything. And there are a lot of people who do get depressed or lonely or sad or, feeling down over the holidays because, you know, they have anxiety about, maybe there are loved ones that are no longer here, or they're away from family, or they don't have family, or they don't have a relationship in their life. But the holidays are definitely a great time to be out and about and keep yourself open to meeting new people, but it's really a lot of pressure that we put on ourselves and not necessary. And I think, you know, just to get through the holidays and enjoy yourself in any way you can. And then, you know, perhaps focus in the new year on, you know, looking ahead at, you know, figuring out how you're wanting to go forward with perhaps cultivating a relationship. And, you know, maybe even hiring a dating coach to do so.
Well, yeah, and that's a great service line, a dating coach. You know, of course, I just shared with you that little brush with fame there in those two venues. But what do you think is the most surprising thing you've learned as a dating coach thus far?
Well, you know, what has been most interesting to me is that the clients that I do have are people that you would never expect would need help with a dating coach. These are beautiful and handsome men and women, very eligible, successful, smart, you know, seemingly has the world by the tail, and even they have some apprehension about dating. You know, we all have insecurities, and, you know, sometimes we become entrenched in patterns that do not help us or do not further our relationships. You know, sometimes they're, you know, self-sabotaging, or, you know, sometimes it's just lack of knowledge, or for lack of a better term, ignorance, you know, in the sense of no one's ever instructed them differently, or they've never been experienced to that. So, you know, it's definitely been very surprising to me, as far as with my clients who have tended to be, for whatever reason, have tended to be very highly attractive and successful people. And, you know, I really just had no idea. It told me what a need there was for these services, you know, as I started accruing these clients who again, I just would never guess that, you know, they wanted any, you know, assistance, or, you know, felt any need for it. So, you know, it's really pervasive.
Yeah. So it sounds like one of the big surprises is that there's people that are actually seeking some assistance in relationships that you thought would never need it. Right. Because they were
right. From all outside appearances, you would just never guess. So it just shows we all do have those, you know, things that we need to evaluate within ourselves and you know, behaviors and sometimes, you know, learn new strategies. And, you know, it's definitely a complex world. There's a lot of factors and dynamics that go into dating and putting yourself out there, whether you're 25, 45, or 65. So, you know, the needs change, and there's lots of new methods of dating and meeting people, and so there are a lot of things to be educated on.
Right. I'm sure, yeah, that landscape has rapidly changed, I would think, even last couple of years with the different types of apps and programs that are out there. And what are you finding kind of a trend? Are you helping people with their assertiveness to kind of get out there and meet people? Or are you helping people that just dread the trash that's out there in the dating scene? I shouldn't say that, but just dread the downside of that. You know, I mean, what are some of the common themes that you're dealing with your clients?
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head there, Bruce, because you're exactly right in that it is, it requires a mind shift, a mindset shift for most people. And the way that usually that the attitude, behaviors, the thought patterns that people have, the apprehension they have about reentering the dating world, you know, most people, they can't even get started because they become so overwhelmed and they don't know where to begin, or it seems fruitless, or they, you know, start it, but they get discouraged and they don't pick it back up. And then years later, they're still alone. So I think that definitely the attitude and mindset is a huge, that's a pervasive trend, I would say. And especially amongst women, even very, very attractive women. I am absolutely always surprised. Obviously, to my benefit that they need me, but I am surprised by you know, how pervasive that the fear and apprehension is in going into this.
Yeah, I was going to ask Justin if he's still alive. Justin, if you have any thoughts about the millennials and how. I had to go there. I had to do it.
Well, I think they see most of the dating sites as hookup sites. And that's what I've heard anyway. I can't speak on it personally, but that's what I hear amongst the millennials.
Well, now, I'm not talking about a live feed today, but you were dating or in a position where you were in between possible relationships in single digit years prior, you know what I mean? I'm trying to get this to a safe zone for our listeners and for Justin's significant others.
I don't know on that one, Bruce. I don't know on that one. I don't know that we have the answers, but I think it's like anything, you know, it's a interesting time it's an interesting time of year, you know, for all of this, right? Especially as you go into the new year, lots of new year goals and whatnot. And I think relationship goals are probably top of people's mind, you know, in that regard, right?
Absolutely. Ashley, one of the running, I'm pretty old fellow and Justin is a young fellow. And so I always want to get the millennial perspective on things, possibly Generation Z, just depends. And, so I get my own.
Well, and let's face it, the way the millennials, you know, their behaviors and their, and you know, and technology and everything else, you know, for example, Bumble, et cetera, you know, all of that has affected not just for the millennials, but for everyone as far as dating. It's definitely made it a much more accessible and convenient and sometimes entertaining way to pass the time for sure. And to help finding a new relationship.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the methodologies and the access points might be a little different or not, you know what I mean? I'm also hearing reports that folks in their 50s and 60s are using these apps as well, and that's a lovely thing. But Ashley, let me ask you, have you had any kind of younger clients in their late 20s or early 30s? And if so, is there something about their mindset to this that is different because of their generational placement, or is this is a universal unmet need that people just tried to fill? However, go ahead.
Well, you know, it definitely obviously depends on what the client is looking for. You know, usually, obviously, people that come to me are looking for something more than a hookup, and so that really does not tend to be what I'm dealing with. Of course, you know, as they navigate the path on these apps and things, you know, that is what you come across, and that is one of the things that as a dating coach that we do discuss and touch upon with the whole hookup mentality. So, yes, it has permeated, and in fact, it's permeated, you know, reputation of things like, you know, Tinder and Bumble. But I can assure you that there are plenty of love relationships that do blossom from Bumble and Tinder and those kinds of apps. And in fact, I met my husband on Bumble, so I can attest to its success.
Well, that's awesome. So, yeah, so that's really good. I think let me ask you this question. Are there characteristics? Now I'm gonna assume that most of your clients are female and only a few are male, right?
I would say that it's probably slightly more female, but surprisingly, I do have two in particular that I'm thinking of, male clients that, again, extremely eligible men. And, you know, it's certainly refreshing to hear their perspectives. And, but also to know that, you know, men have apprehension about this too. And, it's not just a female thing.
Awesome. I have a couple of fun questions for you. You may or may not know this, but let me just shoot these across to see what happens. Like, are there certain types of demographic things associated with a person that are just really hard for them to overcome in getting out there and dating? For instance, let's say it's a single mom with small kids, or a single mom with more than two kids, or a single mom with kids that are young versus teenagers, etc. Are there any types of demographic things? And we can extend this to males too. I could say the same thing with males. Are there any types of kind of static demographic things about certain clients that are like, yeah, we're gonna have to work extra hard for you because of this? And if so, what would be some of those characteristics that would be the harder more challenging aspects of the client?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think that something I have noticed is that, for example, several of my younger, very attractive clients have had apprehension about doing online dating. And I think that that is because they feel insecure putting themselves out there as if that was an admission that they could not get a date elsewhere. When in my mind, you know, it's not an admission of anything whatsoever. In that respect, it's actually embarking on an adventure. And I feel like it's all in the way you look at it. And I have actually had several clients that have been pleasantly surprised once they did finally acquiesce to, you know, doing one of the apps or, you know, one of the dating services that they have had great success with. And they say, why didn't I listen to you earlier? So that is always refreshing to hear.
Yeah. I mean, so you're saying that just that fear of putting themselves online somehow in itself has almost a stigma attached to it that, you know, okay.
I think that there is an old notion of that you know, there is some, initially they think there's some stigma, you know, and then they get on there and they see, you know, very interesting, eligible, you know, people of the opposite sex that, hey, this doesn't look so bad. This isn't the axe murderers and serial killers that I thought it was going to be.
Right. And so, and, you know, I think it's worth bringing up. I don't know how appropriate I can do this, but I mean, what Mr. Evans getting on me, but yeah, I mean, like yourself, I mean, you're a very attractive woman and kind of right down the line of what you're saying, right? I mean, and it worked for you. Yeah, go ahead.
I think that in general, something that has propelled me forward in this, my background was, I was actually just steps away from completing my master's in psychotherapy, and that was the path I was going to take when I had, I had had an interesting dating journey and had actually had the time of my life. It was fabulous. And I regarded it as an adventure. And I think that mindset really radiated from me. And I think that the window into the human psyche with, you know, with the psychotherapy background, as well as, you know, undergoing the dating journey myself and navigating, you know, the different apps and the common things that you encounter, you know, in dating. I think that it was so fascinating and so interesting to me that I just, you know, and I felt like that I had something to offer, and because I kept getting approached by it, frankly, that approached for, you know, questions and things like that, it just came very natural to me, and I was fortunate in that, I guess, in that maybe I was naive enough or stupid enough to just put myself out there anyway. But anyway, I definitely learned quite a bit, and so it's been a good thing.
Let me ask you this. That's a pretty interesting mindset to have. Something like saying, "Well, this is an adventure. I'm going to treat this like an adventure," versus, "Oh my God, I'm taking this personal. Will this person like me? Will they not like me? What's wrong with me? Everybody else
right.
is a part." I mean, what I mean, where talk a little bit about that mindset as an adventure, and how that's a little bit different than how other people see it.
Well, you know, it really is. In fact, it makes all the difference in the world, Bruce, because, you know, someone is going into it with that attitude, you know, feeling insecure, feeling, you know, feeling unsure, that does radiate. And I think that, you know, going into it with, you know, an air of excitement and a purpose, and you don't know where it's going to lead. You don't know, you know, if you're going to have 50 horrible first dates or, you know, what it's going to be like. But I think the decision to embark on that journey and looking at it through the right lens makes all the difference. And I think that I can see that the clients that I have worked with, once that mind shift occurs, it's, you know, it's Katie barred the door, because then they realize that, you know, the journey they're on is a good path, and they can see success, they can see improvement. They are able to discern better, you know, types of people that they do want, what their deal breakers are, evaluate patterns that they have that I've used in the past that has perhaps been a detriment to relationships. So it's definitely the mindset is everything.
Good point. It is everything. It is everything. So what would you say are some of the benefits of hiring a dating coach? What are some of the benefits for that?
Well, you know, first of all, I think, you know, a dating coach is going to be objective. They're not your friend. They're going to tell you things that sometimes you don't want to hear, that your friends might not tell you. And I think that honest feedback and dialogue with your coach is extremely helpful. I think that, you know, they can educate you on the different dating apps. They can even help you write your profile, select your pictures, you know, whatever. They can assist you in evaluating what you want, which is really something that, you know, is essential, that you need to know what you're after, what your mission is, not just that you want to find a relationship, but what kind of person and what, you know, what are the things that are essential? What are the must-haves? What are the maybes? And what are the definite no's? They can identify behaviors that need to be addressed that keep you from finding success in a relationship. So, you know, I think there's several things. And then also, you know, helping clients become ready for a relationship by overcoming emotional baggage, you know, whatever it is, addressing issues of trust, having clients identify their values and challenging their beliefs on what makes a successful relationship. And, you know, I think that, you know, that monitoring is also, you know, essential. There's, you know, that constant dialogue and feedback between the coach and the client, as, you know, these things take time. It's not something you just, you know, have one coaching session and then, you know, you learn it all. There's questions and there's different topics that we address from week to week as we are navigating the dating journey into getting everything up and running.
Sounds good. And you're also probably helping them keep accountable to their goals. Hey, did you?
Well, absolutely. That's what it's all about, Bruce. As far as, you know, really a coach is going to be an accountability partner and you know, make sure that you're on the right track and they're asking the right questions to you, so that you as a client can, you know, find your own answers, but definitely they're there to provide some guidance as well.
That's good. That's really good. Sounds like it's, you know, you address this in a holistic and comprehensive way. And, you know, one of the other questions I have for you, and I don't know if maybe you do what you do and you don't know how you differentiate. I know that there's several other, you know, where you're located, there's several other women that come to mind that are pretty active in the dating coach kind of role, I'll say, you know, in Dallas.
Right.
I'm not going to drop any names here, but I'm giving you enough time to think of person A, person B, or person C. Anyway,
right.
So with that said, and you know, look, we have listeners all over the United States, so really it doesn't matter that we're in Texas, but how, for, you know, and I'm thinking that you see clients, you know, across the nation and by phone and Skype and stuff like that. So what is it about you? What are some of the things about you that's your unique brand, or, you know what I mean, that's unique to you, that you bring to the space that probably nobody else does?
Well, you know, again, going back to, I think, number one, my mindset was different. And I do think that I think not only do I bring the psychotherapy background, but I also, you know, am certified, of course, as a coach, but I also have undergone the dating journey. And I, my dating story was pretty interesting, but I certainly learned a lot. I went on a lot of dates, and, you know, some of it was perhaps my own research, but it was pretty fascinating. I think that the breadth of experience that I had was definitely a good thing for me as a coach. And, you know, I have been fortunate in, you know, in my own personal situation in that, you know, a lot of people that I know, you know, are you know, very successful and attractive individuals. And like I say, it has, you know, I have developed a certain clientele that, you know, I've been able to, you know, help coach, as well as have done some matchmaking and speaking. And so I think between having, you know, my personal background and as well as with the experience, the personal experience and the education, I think that has been a good thing. And then, of course, just my own personal situation has been a great benefit. So it's definitely an interesting window into seeing that even those who are, you know, like I say, you know, not what you would think would be having insecurities and, or, you know, need to address things with a dating coach. And really what it has shown me is everyone can benefit from a dating coach.
You know, but sometimes I would think that you have to be on the lookout for, too. There could be somebody with maybe a borderline personality disorder that has very hero and zero,
yeah,
or has a history of self-harm or self-injury, or maybe somebody who's a bipolar one who's kind of crazy and manic, or maybe a crazy stalker or something,
right,
like that, or somebody who's addicted to porn and really can't do well with human beings, but seems to do okay with just the porn. And you may have to find, you have to find other referrals or other therapists, or, you know, hey, you don't need to be seeing a coach, right? You need to be seeing a therapist or something, you know?
Right. Right. And there, you're right. There are some issues that are inherent that, frankly, a dating coach is just not going to, it's just not going to help.
Yeah, man. Some of those folks are a little bit, yeah, like you said, you don't want to be trying to make a mentally ill foul ball fly straight on this coaching paradigm.
Right. Well, and, you know, and I think, you know, obviously those things are not apparent initially, but I think in, you know, identifying, you know, patterns and behaviors and through the accountability process, you know, over the coaching sessions, I think that, you know, thankfully I have not had that issue yet, but, you know, you're absolutely right. And that there is a lot of dysfunction out there, and that, you know, I think with feedback that's offered, you know, I think that those things do come to light eventually, just as they do with dating, you know, and, you know, spending time with someone over time, you know, as you,
right,
should, you see them in different situations and you know, see their adaptability and things like that. And then you're able to determine what you're dealing with.
Yes. Very, very good. Very good. Well, Justin, what are your thoughts thus far?
It's interesting to hear your background on things, right? Like, so it's a different slant on the market, perhaps, you know, than what we're seeing. I personally don't have much experience, knock on wood, very fortunate to have had to hire someone or even venture into the social dating arena. But it's fun to see it and to observe kind of the market. And obviously, you know, I have plenty of friends who, you know, dip their toes in the water, and many who are multi-platform users who share,
yeah,
their feedback across platforms, which is always fun and interesting to hear. I think, you know, what I would be curious about is just sort of, so if you were someone who is, you know, starting the journey, what might be sort of your top one or two things you might, you know, share with them?
You know, again, I hate to be a broken record, but again, I think that as far as the mentality, as far as, you know, I think having the right mindset is absolutely crucial. in going forward. You know, I think also really learning about, you know, as much as you can, you know, in your intake about, you know, what a person's personal situation has been with dating. You know, have they never done online dating? Have they done this? Have they done that? What kinds of, you know, relationships have they had? You know, I think that there's, you know, there's a lot that needs to be assessed there, and as far as what their comfort level is. And frankly, it's you know, being there to be their cheerleader and their encourager, but also sometimes, you know, sometimes their critic or the one that's going to be able to offer constructive criticism. So I think really it's, the main thing is being able to shift that mindset and really encourage them that it, you know, it's not that scary out there. And, you know, what do you have to lose? There's a lot you can gain. And, you know, in kind of navigating their fears and things like that.
Great. And what's maybe the most unique story that you could share that I'm sure you've come across quite a few, you know, that, or maybe that you're able to share for that matter, working in this space?
Well, you know, one thing that I was thinking of that was funny was I did have a client that had, she was, again, very, very attractive, and her date came to pick her up. He sent an Uber for her, and she was, I guess the Uber that he sent was, you know, perhaps the, you know, I don't know, that whatever the economy version was, and she was so distracted by the ugly Uber that he sent that she couldn't think of anything the rest of the date and did not want to go out with him again. So,
wow.
Obviously, yeah. So that was a little bit eye opening, but,
I can't believe you didn't get me a black Suburban. I mean,
send an Uber black.
Screw you, man. That's how you care for me, man. This guy picking me up, Prius. Are you freaking kidding me right now?
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Awesome.
Well, I think sometimes expectations, you know, and is that really the thing to value is the Uber that he sent, you know? So sometimes there are, you know, surprising, you know, behaviors. Who knows, you know, where that came from as far as the mentality. But, you know, I think making sure that our expectations are in check is something else. You know, I have had, you know, I've had clients who have had extremely skewed expectations for what, you know, what they're expecting. And it's just, you know, you have to be real about this. I mean, so, you know, there's lots more stories where that came from. But as far as what I can share, that's the first one that comes to mind.
Oh, man, that is a good one.
That's funny.
So on that same vein, and again, we're not here to man bash or anything like that. Justin and I are both men, so we can totally handle the freight here. But I am so curious, right? Because I know you're very happily married now and all that good stuff. But like you said, prior to your marriage, you were out there. You know, you were in the space, kind of dating and practicing what you preach and such as that. Can you share a couple of, not the gory, but did you ever run into any dudes that were, I'm just trying to think, you know, who you might encounter that'd be a good one to talk about. Like, for instance, have you ever run into a guy who was a stalker or just wouldn't kind of step aside and wouldn't take no for no?
Or well,
you dating a guy that had bad boundaries? You know, can you share a couple of examples, at least categorically, of those?
Well, you know, I did myself have a few of those. And one which, you know, I think when I first started, I was of course, you know, not sure what to think, especially some, you know, some apps, there's tendency for more strange things to happen on it than others. But I think, you know, I did have one guy that, you know, would continue to message, and, you know, when I, you know, eventually just had to, you know, block him. But I've also had, you know, I had someone that, you know, showed up and was, you know, for a date and was under the influence one time. I mean, pretty significantly so, I might add. But, you know, there were, it's all a learning experience. I don't think that there was, you know, as long as you're meeting them in a public place, you know, I think that's, you know, that's obviously, you know, definitely something that women need to keep in mind. But really, you know, there was nothing that was so egregious. You know, I wasn't sure what kind of messages that I would get if I would get, you know, really inappropriate messages, you know, or what. But, you know, I would say overall, it was just a really great experience. For me, you know, you have to take the good and the bad all together, and you have to brush off the bad and focus on the good. And, you know, there really were a lot of great guys, truly a lot of great guys, doing online dating. And, you know, and I considered myself, you know, pretty, you know, relatively adept at assessing that. And I was really, frankly, overall impressed with the quality of men. Don't get me wrong. There was plenty of frogs, but there's also plenty of princes too.
All right. So let me ask you this. I mean, is there some sort of a code, like, hey, if you're going to meet somebody on a date, like some people say they should do it, like maybe do coffee, but then some people say, no, don't meet for coffee. That's just too cheap. And, you know, meet for dinner or lunch, or is dinner too much of a date? And that can be kind of overwhelming. Are there any kind of societal norms about kind of getting off the ground those first meeting or twos? What kind of place that should be at?
Well, you know, I think I suggest, you know, going to. I think coffee is perfectly fine myself.
Amen.
You know, I think coffee is great. I never took you know, offense if someone. You know, there were many times actually when I would meet someone for a drink and then, you know, we would stay for dinner. And so, you know, but meeting for a drink is a great way. It's a quick in and out. You know, if you need to go, then you need to go. If the date's not working out well, or you just don't feel it's a match. But as far as committing to, you know, a dinner or something more lengthy, definitely don't do that for a first date. I would, you know, make sure that you reserve your Friday and Saturday nights for the ones that you think do have the most potential. So, you know, those are a few tips that I would have in that regard.
Okay. So some of these folks, clients of yours and possibly yourself back in the day, you might have multiple dates in a week then, and you're kind of rank ordering them, right? The ones that are the strong hopefuls, put those toward the back of the week. The ones that are early on in exploration, put those on the weekdays type of thing.
Well, you know, I think that
that's a,
you know,
great way to put it, Bruce. That's a very general
like a
way
baseball
to put it.
Team, man. I got my
wow.
they're early on in expiration. Put them at the front of the week. Jeez.
Exploration, not exploration. But anyway.
Well, I will tell you that, you know, in my mind, I feel like, for example, before the dating apps, you know, if you're waiting on meeting someone organically, say you're going to meet someone on a Friday and, you know, say you meet him and, you know, you wait for a few days for him to call and maybe he does or he doesn't. And then finally he calls and then you go out a couple days later, you know, you can waste a lot of time. And if you're waiting for organically the very right person, and I'm not saying that there's just only one, but, you know, for the right person to walk into your life just by happenstance, I feel like that, with the dating apps, it definitely increases efficiency. And if you're going to look at it from a business perspective and like a business transaction, I think that it is the most efficient means of, you know, seeing who's out there. I mean, when you're looking at an app, you are, rather than being in a bar where you're looking over at several people standing at the bar, you know, on an app, you can see, okay, well, this guy's, you know, 42 and he's, you know, a truck driver, and this guy's 36 and he, whatever. He you know, is really into Harley Davidsons, and he drives motorcycles. I mean, you can have an idea on an app, just a snapshot of each person, and you know, you have an idea of what you're looking at. Whereas at a bar, you do not have that. And so I feel like, and it's also as far as just, you know, the quantity. I mean, it's just a much more time efficient way to, you know, go about cultivating a relationship, or at least just, you know, opening the right doors and meeting others. And it's the exposure that you're getting.
Okay. That's a good point. Sounds like a pretty good strategy. Now, is the whole catfishing thing, is that pretty common? Did that happen to you? Is that something that, any tips to guard against that, or just kind of have to, yeah, what are your thoughts, you know, about the whole thing there?
You know, I had, personally, I think I really had just one incident of that. You know, I did have, you know, on occasion there, I would have some strange emails, but I would say, again, that was generally from one of the apps that I personally didn't say on. I won't say what that app was, but anyway, I personally never really had it, and I actually have not had any clients that have, you know, that we've gone into about that. So that has not been a big issue in my practice.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, some of those apps are, like you said, I guess there are some apps that are, I don't want to say trashy, but you know what I mean? There is this kind of a pecking order, I think, on some of the apps. I worked with a client, a psychotherapy client. So, you know, and he was using Scout. I mean, whoa, I don't know if you ever.
Oh, I don't know what that is. I haven't heard of that one, but I'll have to check it out.
No. If there was a manhole cover on that sealed hell from here, yeah, that the Scout app is the manhole cover, that if you lift that, then you're going right into hell. So I don't know. That's some interesting stuff. So anyway, I shouldn't say that. Hopefully the Scout people won't get mad. But there is a rough component, it seems like, in that Scout app. So just watch out for that. But, well, good. Sounds like, you know, it's an interesting time of year. Now, real quick, we still have a few more minutes. What is it you think about Christmas and cold weather and the new year? What is it about this time of year that really gets people more focused on their relationships, or if they're alone or not? What's your thought on that?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
You know, Bruce, I think, again, going back to, you know, the holidays and, you know, wrap up the year, everything, you know, I think that people are, you know, reassessing what they've done over the year and you know, what they want to do or what they need. And I think as part of that, you know, assessment, you know, and it being cold weather and you're inside and it's time to, you know, hang at home. And if they don't have anyone else there and they see everyone at parties or, you know, receiving Christmas cards with family pictures and, you know, or boyfriend, girlfriend or married people, whatever, you know, I do think that you're very aware of your lack of that when you see that all around you. And I think that it only is compounded by the fact that it's, you know, an end of year, you know, type of reassessment, you know, type of thing. So I think that, you know, that makes it a great time, you know, in the new year to seek out a dating coach and to really address those needs and try to, you know, cultivate a relationship if that's what your intention is.
Yeah. Good points. Yeah. Particularly when you're around family, that is kind of that report card moment, you know. Where are you doing? Are you seeing anybody? And why not? No, it's right. But
it's the dreaded question.
Get me out of this room. But, Ashley, I really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing your insights
with
us. Thank
you so much for having me.
And before we wrap up, are there any social media or website or phone number or emails that possible clients might be able to reach you at?
Yes, actually, so my email is info@ashleyevans. info@ashleyevans.com, .guru, and then my email is 1-866. 663-4376, which is HERO. And again, my website is www.ashleyevans.guru. So I would love to hear from one.
That's excellent. You got one of those new fancy extensions. It doesn't have to be .com, .net, but .guru, so we know.
.guru.
You're one of the guru at .guru. Well, thank you so much for
thank you, Bruce. I appreciate it. Justin, I hope you start to feel better.
Yes.
Thank you, Ashley. Appreciate it. It's been a fascinating discussion today, and really appreciate your insight and expertise.
Oh, well, thank you. Yours as well. I appreciate it.
All right, folks. Well, there you have it. Another wonderful show here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio, rounding out. We're really close to rounding out 2018. Remember, folks, our shows are archived on the LA Talk Radio site, and they're also available for you on iTunes. That's right. All of our shows are free for you. You can download any of our podcasts at any time on iTunes, and it's always fun to see all the different types of guests we've had on this show. Just an amazing selection of coaches and experts that we've had on the show. And Ashley's certainly one of those great experts. It's going to be a fun show to listen to again and again. Also, we're on Facebook, Concierge Coaches Show, and The Concierge Coaches on LinkedIn and Instagram. So, with that, we'll bid everybody a great week, and we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.